Welcome to Kick-Ass Couples Nation Behind the Scenes, where you get exclusive footage just for our members. Listen in to hear our fantastic guests respond to a few extra questions and get further insight into how these committed couples handle areas we all wonder about in our own relationships. So I'd love to know, I got an inquiring mind, and I'd love to know, what's been the biggest challenge the two of you have faced, and what did you do to overcome it or get through it?
Wow.
That's a big one.
Challenge.
I think for me, it's learning that. So when I first became a teacher, I was going to teach for 35 years, and that was going to be the plan, right? And it became evident after, you know, being in the classroom for 10 years that Steph no longer wanted to do that. So she wanted to branch out on her own. And one of your pillars is around security. And because of that, I was worried that she was going to start her own business in the nutrition field, and I was going to have to be the breadwinner because I didn't think she'd be able, I didn't think she'd be able to do it. I just didn't know if it was going to equal her salary that she left behind when she she left teaching. So that was a big thing for me, was security. So I think right then and there, I was supportive, but I was also terrified inside. So much so that Steph wouldn't give me the entire financial breakdown of things because she knew how I would respond to it. Not that she was withholding, it's just that she wasn't going to lead with that, right? So for me, it was just understanding that, you know, I was very, very concerned, but that with faith and trust and commitment,
right,
you're going to get through it.
Yeah, we were both raised lower middle class. Security was huge. That was a huge thing for our family. I mean, my dad worked at General Motors for 30 years. And it was like, you go to college and you get a job. What's a super secure job? Be a teacher. Not that I didn't love teaching and I didn't love children. I still teach and I love teaching. But it was, this is it. You know, you're going to do this for 30 years and then you're going to retire and then you're going to, you know, do whatever people do when they retire. I don't want to find out. So, like, when I started getting the hint in 3 years in that I didn't think that I could do this for 30 years. And I remember having a conversation with my dad, and he said, "What are you complaining about? You have benefits. You have a secure job. Like, just
3 months off.
You know, you have 3 months off a year.
Yeah, you have the best situation possible."
Right. And so, like, those conversations caused me to stay. And finally, it was like there was a breaking point where it's like I'm suffocating. I cannot do this anymore. And it was very stressful for us. We did not have a safety net. We did not have anything in savings. And I just said, look, I have to do this. And my goal is to replace our teacher's salary, which we kind of giggle about now, because it was so little. But at the time, it was like our entire family depended on it, right? So it really threw us in a great deal of upheaval, both because it threatened both of our senses of security, not just his sense of security. It threatened my sense of security too. But that desire was so much stronger than the fear that was on the other side of it, right? And it took a good adjustment for us. And there were some really stressful, perilous times where we were financially not in a good place. And I think that was probably one of the biggest challenges that we ever went through. We had two small children. So we were managing, you know, two little girls at the same time. I was trying to make a career change, trying to build a business. So I was gone a lot. And when I was home, I was meeting with clients in our house, and he was responsible for the kids. So there was even a bit of a role reversal, because then I began to make more money than he was making. So there was also this like shift in, well, we were both equal and now I'm making more money. But his belief was that, you know, there was some inner belief that he should be the provider. So there was even friction in that area.
Sure.
So we really had to come at this like, look, we're a part of a team. You know, his thing was, well, what if you stop liking this, you know, or what if there's nobody else that wants to, you know, what if? And I just kept coming back to, I just have to know. Like, I have to find this out for myself. And then you were completely supportive, even though there was a piece of you that was really afraid.
yeah, it was, there was the, you know, the two on the shoulder kind of telling you one thing versus the other, but you were following your passion.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because a lot of people don't follow their passion. A lot of people don't, they'll stay in a dead end job just for the security. Right. It's not to say that you can just say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore and I'm going to go out and see the world. That's great. Got to find a way to pay for it. What are you going to do? You can't just, you know, sit in a yoga position and raise your hands and say, I want, you know, a Jaguar car or something like that. You've really got to put in the work. And I saw Steph's commitment to it. She was going to put in the work. She was passionate about it. And there was no way I was not going to support her.
And I knew that if I stayed the same because of his need for security, I'd end up resenting the hell out of him in the long run. Like, it would end up tearing us apart regardless.
And I was just going to bring that up. Well, it's the flip side of you staying. Right?
Yeah. Right,
staying in a job that you disliked or had come to grow out of and were not happy any longer. You know, you're sacrificing her happiness, but you trusted her.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And what was interesting about that was I told her, I said, there's only one thing I need from you when we're going through all this chaos. I just need you to tell me every day everything's going to be okay. And she looked me in the eye and she said, I'm not going to say that.
Because I don't know that.
Because she doesn't know for sure.
If it's,
so it really pointed out the how much of a victim mentality I was living with from past paradigms, from, you know, my growing up within that sort of, you know, culture. And I kind of chuckle about it now because I just wanted her to tell me it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And still to this day, I feel like the rug could be pulled out from underneath me. It's just that's that hand to mouth, you know, sort of mentality that I grew up with. But I'm getting to a place now where I know that there's nothing we can't accomplish. There's nothing that this amazing woman cannot do. And I'm happy to support her and do what I can to move this forward. We've got, like I said, big goals, big missions.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to be able to come at it from that perspective of, you know, let's do this together. We are on the same team.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
I want to touch on intimacy a little bit.
Sure.
Steph, what do you need from Brandon to achieve the highest level of intimacy?
I think for me, it's touch and time. It's touch and time, really. It's, you know, holding my hand, you know, giving me a hug when you notice that I've had a bad day. Just sitting with me if I'm struggling with something and then giving me your time and attention. So when we're together, you know, not being on the cell phone, like having us time every morning. We try every morning to meet on our screened in patio and have coffee together. And we start the day just like, how did you sleep last night? And what are you excited about today? And, you know, just trying to get that connect time, because once work starts, I mean, yeah, we work in the same place, but we do not. It's like ships passing. Like,
right.
Sure.
Yeah. We don't see each other.
And then, you know, evenings get busy. So we really try to make sure that we've got time for each other. I think that's, for me, it's time and touch.
Sure. It's right on my notes, right there to keep.
You know,
yeah.
You know,
quality time and personal touch. There it is right there. Yeah. I would say the same thing. I would say, you know, just being able to be present. I think, you know, it's so easy now in this day and age.
For me, what you need is
what do I need?
I'm asking her. You, sorry,
it's okay.
You're asking her the question.
You're good.
I'm glad you clarified, because I thought he was saying that it was for him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For you.
For me.
What
do I need from Steph? I just need you to tell me everything's going to be okay. No, I think.
Wait. Let me play her role. You know I'm not doing that, Brandon.
That's exactly right. That's exactly okay. Right. I think from Steph, I just need to have her. At times she gets so in her head about, and this usually happens on a Sunday. Sundays can be a little bit challenging because Friday evenings are great, Saturdays rock, and then Sundays you start thinking about CEO work. And you really blow a whole day of opportunity. So I would love it if we could just have that day to not focus too much on work, even though we do work 7 days a week in our head, we can't get away from it. But I think also it's one of those situations where, you know, if you could just say, look, today is going to be crazy. Sunday's going to be, you know, I'm going to get quiet. It has nothing to do with you, because I internalize, oh, she's mad at me. She's upset at me. What did I do? If she would just come out and say, look, today is going to be one of those days. I just wanted to let you know ahead of time. And then that way I know the expectation is set, the agreement is set, and I can, you know, get over myself a little bit.
So communication is what
communication. I think I heard that somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And she's an excellent, she gets me to communicate, so I just need to have her communicate a little bit more too.
Yeah. Sure. Awesome.
So I've got one more quick question for you guys, and Brandon, I'm going to ask you first.
Sure.
I want you to fill in the blank.
Okay.
The key to successful and filling successful and fulfilling marriage is blank.
Adventures. It's adventures. It's experiencing all the things that this world has. It's just going on adventures with this amazing woman.
Perfect. All right, Steph. I'm going to ask you to fill in the same blank. And I'll tee it up again so you have some extra time.
Thank you.
The key to a successful and fulfilling... See, I can't even...
It's a tongue twister for you.
The key to a successful and fulfilling marriage is blank.
I think it's compassion. I think it's being willing to be compassionate with your spouse but not step into a story with them. You know, putting yourself in their shoes, seeing things from their perspective. On top of all the other pillars, commitment, communication, all of those things, I really think that, you know, compassion is key.
Love that.
Yeah, love that too. Beautiful.
Thank you again.
We're going to wrap up that behind the scenes stuff. So you guys have been great.
Thank you.